What's up, everybody? Welcome to We Need More Cowbell, a podcast about Saturday Night Live, its history, cast, best sketches, and more. I'm your co-host, Maddie Pryor.
And I'm Jamie Chaffetz.
And our top of the show topic today is meeting Saturday Night Live cast members in the flesh.
In the flesh, in yes. The flesh. We couldn't find anything in the news that would be topical and funny, and also relate to SNL, so we're just going to talk about ourselves.
That's right, because the news is depressing. So, Jamie, who from SNL have you met in person?
Well, I will tell you. It was a sunny summer day.
Ooh, paint the picture.
This is when I met Colin Jost. Oh. So I've been watching SNL with my cousins the night before. I think it was the first year that old Jost was the anchor on Weekend Update. Old Josty. And my cousin and I were walking in the city with some of our family, and I just remember distinctly passing this guy, and he looked like someone I knew, and I didn't know how. I was like, did I go to camp with him, school? Like, who's this guy? And my cousin noticed him, and she was like, she put the pieces together sooner than I did, and she was like, oh, that's the guy from Weekend Update. So I literally ran.
That's amazing.
a block back, and we just started chatting, and I was
that's
like,
that's so cool.
He was really awesome, and I was like, oh, you know, like, Lauren, I was like, how did you get this, like, this position?
Awesome job.
Like, yeah, like, you, I've never heard of you before. And he was like, just Lauren told me I was doing it, and I didn't complain, and I didn't ask questions.
I wouldn't either.
And so he just seemed just as shocked as anyone else.
That's so cool.
And, I also,
right.
I mentioned this in episode one if you guys are hardcore fans.
Throwback to but, episode one.
Throwback. But he had a poppy seed, like, from a bagel in his tooth.
That's unfortunate.
And I didn't say anything.
Well, I hope it was a bagel.
Yeah, I could have. I don't know what else you'd have a poppy seed from.
That's awesome that he, like, you know, you, like, actually chatted, not just like a, oh my gosh, like, wave on the street.
Yep.
And when you mentioned the poppy seed thing in the first time we talked about this, I thought that you saw him at, like, a comedy show and met him.
Oh, jeez, that'd be so embarrassing for
so
him.
So I was like, why did he, like, someone would have told him. But no, he was just in the natural.
He was on the prowl or whatever.
And those very nice teeth.
Yeah.
So yeah, now that makes more sense. Yeah. Have you met anybody else?
Yeah, so I met Bill Hader on the street in the city one night.
What?
I think he was getting out of something. It was at nighttime, and he told us, it was me and a friend, and he told us that, like, Fred Armisen was, like, right down the road.
Oh,
we missed him. We're like,
But still, Bill Hader.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
He was nice.
Yeah, that's a good segue because I did meet Fred Armisen.
Interesting.
Fun fact, yeah. also on the street in the city one night. My boyfriend Mike and I, we were headed to Pizza Suprema, as we always do when we're in the city. I saw him walking towards us, and in my head I'm like, wow, that guy looks a lot like Fred Armisen, and then it was him, and I literally pointed at him with, like, my finger pointed and went, Fred Armisen. And he just goes, yeah. And Mike turned.
He would say that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And so Mike turned around because he was already, like, in the restaurant, basically, and turns around and just goes, oh shit. But yeah, Fred was super nice. You know, as you can imagine, he just seems like the nicest person.
Yes.
He asked us what we were doing in the city that night. We were there to see Amy Schumer at the Garden. And he was just like, oh, she's so nice. She's great. She's great, isn't she? I said, she is great, and you're great, too. And Mike mentioned how big of a fan he is of Documentary Now, and he was, like, so, like, grateful and nice. Like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much for watching. And so then I said, can we take a selfie? He was like, yeah, of course, of course. So we took our selfie, and then he said, have a great night. And I was like, you too, Fred Armisen. Like,
yeah, Fred.
Friggin' awesome.
Freddy.
Yeah, it was cool.
Have you met anyone else from SNL?
I have. So I used to work at Stress Factory in New Brunswick. It's a really awesome comedy club. Sup, Vinny. And they have meet and greets pretty often after their shows, depending on, you know, who it is. So I actually also met Colin Jost. I met him twice at Stress Factory. And the first time, he had these things called mocktail napkins, which are cocktail napkins, but with funny drawings on them. And I had him sign one for me. That was cool.
Awesome.
I also met Colin Quinn. Who we both love,
yes,
and we actually both just saw.
I was going to be like, oh, I forgot.
Yeah, right before, I think it was before we recorded our first episode.
Yeah.
We saw him in Red State, Blue State, which is this new show off Broadway, I guess. It was amazing. He had a one-liner for every single state, and it was just.
He memorized all the states.
Yes! That's not an easy task in the middle of a set. Arkansas.
California.
And so I met him, and I told him what we actually both described in the first episode is, like, he was my weekend update anchor when growing up. Like, that's who I saw. Like, so he, and he was so grateful. Like, oh, that's great, you know. And then I met Pete Davidson and Alex Moffat.
What? Yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were doing a show at Penn State when I was working there. And, yeah, they were so nice, too. Got a selfie with both of them, obviously.
This is, like, before he had blonde hair? This is, like...
Yes. Okay. Yes. It was pre Ari and all that stuff. But, yeah, so, I've had the chance to see plenty of SNL cast members and writers do stand-up, but those are the ones I've had the very cool chance to meet.
That's awesome. And I also just want to say, you know, talking about random celebrities, mm-hmm. The funniest moment you go into New York City, you see a lot of celebrities. I actually saw, if you remember him, Tyrese.
How would you forget Tyrese? It's Tyrese.
I've told people this. Wait, what is it?
It's Tyrese.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
So you don't even need a last name.
I know. It's like Madonna. I've told people this story, though, and they are like, who's Tyrese? And I'm like, how
those people
old are
should
you?
Be fired into the sun.
But anyway, we passed him in the street, and I just remember distinctly my mom going, peace, Tyrese! And, like, had a little peace sign up, and he kind of gave her, like, a what the heck look? Like, what are you doing?
Oh, my gosh, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
So, yeah, not an SNL reference, but I had to share that.
Such a good story. I'm so glad you shared it. The funniest thing I've heard in a very long time, and your mom sounds like my new best friend.
We can bring her on the show sometime.
Oh, yes.
No, I don't know about that.
That's a peace, Tyrese. That's awesome.
I don't know where she got that from. Like, she's like made it up.
That's amazing.
That should be a thing.
It's quick, yeah.
That should be
that's our new hashtag.
Yes.
Peace, Tyrese.
All right. So I think that's a great way to wrap up this segment.
Me too.
And move on to our episode review for season one, episode 3.
All right. So episode 3 aired on October 21st, 1975. And this one did start with a cold open. Jane Curtin was a nurse who wheels in Chevy Chase in a wheelchair. And then she's gone.
That's it.
Yeah. And there's like this sad music playing in the background. And Chevy Chase takes out a cigarette and a lighter, but he drops the lighter. So he gets up out of the wheelchair to go pick up the lighter and sits back down. And a couple seconds later, he's like in his head, oh my gosh, like, wait, I just walked. He doesn't say that, but, you know, you see it in his face. So then he tosses the lighter again to see what'll happen. You know, maybe he'll be able to walk again. And then he just absolutely eats shit. and, like,
he
really oversells it.
Yeah.
And then gets up and says, live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Right. And this episode was hosted by Rob Reiner. There wasn't your traditional musical guest, but guests and bits in the theme song included Penny Marshall and the Lockers, who were awesome.
They were great.
Jim Henson's Muppets.
Yes.
A film by Albert Brooks, Andy Kaufman again, Denny Dillon, and Mark Hampton.
Oh, and to note, Michael O'Donoghue is back.
Back.
we're back to 8, not ready for primetime players. And I was listening to the second episode, and I'm pretty sure I called him Michael Cunningham.
Did you really?
Or it just sounds like that. So I guess I just need to be better at pronouncing things. I don't know.
Okay.
But I think what ends up happening is, I don't know if these people end up being busy, so they leave and come back or anything. But this is the third week in a row where there's been changes, and it's the third episode. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Lauren, what are you doing? Yeah, so to kick off the monologue, Rob Reiner comes out in a fancy tux and a black wig. I didn't realize that was a wig until he...
Isn't that bad? I didn't either.
Okay, yeah.
It's so bad. I felt really dumb.
I was like, his hair looks weird, but I guess that's the style.
Yeah, right.
Then, so, but anyway, so being Mr. Suave saying hello to the ladies, he mentions that his famous... songwriter Irving Berlin is in the audience, who is quite obviously not in the audience. They just pick a random guy and put the words, this isn't Irving Berlin, but Rob doesn't know it, across the screen.
It's amazing. Yeah. Then he says he's going to do a tribute to the late, great Mr. Bob Dylan.
Came back to life.
Yeah, obviously Bob Dylan was not and still is not dead. But he sings, like, you know, this big band version of Blowing in the Wind anyway, which is really great. And he gives a shout out to Howard Shore and the SNL orchestra, which is nice. Shore ended up serving as a musical director for the first 5 years of the show.
So our first sketch is supposed to be a PSA for the National Pancreas Association,
which it does not exist, according to my extensive Google search. But I did find a National Pancreas Foundation.
Okay.
An American Pancreatic Association.
Okay, so.
But anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, Dan Arkwright is a doctor who gives the most ridiculous joke ever.
It's amazing.
He says, knock, knock, who's there? Ed's pancreas. Ed's pancreas who? I don't know. Ed, but I don't know Ed, but I know his. I know this. Good glands don't go on trees.
So stupid.
And his pancreas apparently is all bad.
The audience loved that line. When he says, Ed's pancreas who? I don't know, but I do know this. Like, they lost it. It was so funny. But yeah, so then they take their first break, but not before making someone feel very uncomfortable. They do the thing where they zoom in on some random person and put text on the screen. So they do that to this poor woman. It says, has been to Lee Radziwill's house. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that last name wrong, but it's hard. But she was Jackie Kennedy's sister. And actually, the documentary is made about their aunt and cousin called Great Gardens, a super famous documentary. And that is what the first episode of Documentary Now played off of. But anyway, so then we get to something I would consider like your typical SNL sketch of today, like that we all know and love with the cast and the host.
Yes, and I think you'd be right. Host Rob Reiner and his wife at the time, the fabulous Penny Marshall, do a sketch called the Most Commonly Made Fashion Mistake. Penny and Rob are the MCs while cast members come out with their underwear on the outside of their clothes still on hangers, and toilet paper stuck to their coattails.
That's right. I love this sketch. I love that they use the cast members' real names, which is interesting. Like, here's Gilda doing some ridiculous thing. And it's really just simple. Like, Rob Reiner's simple, like, here's how you fix your fashion mistake. Don't wear furniture. And don't wear hamster heads. You've got a face. Let's see it. So, I don't know. I think this might be my favorite sketch of the first three episodes.
Yeah. It was pretty good. Yeah. Then we get to a quick fake ad for Golden Needle Voodoo Acupuncture. And then comes Andy Kaufman. He does a little
Our
more.
Our buddy.
Yes. He does a little more than what he did in the first episode, but not by much. He lip syncs again to Pop Goes the Weasel.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, no, I was going to...
Yeah.
I was going to say my friend, so talking about feedback, like,
sure.
My friend, she was, like, really mad that we like, on Andy Kaufman. Like,
yeah.
She's like, you don't get it? And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you didn't get it. So, you know, shout out to Allison. I liked this one better.
Yeah,
this,
oh, me too.
Yeah.
Because he did, didn't he do both parts? Did he do both the boy and the girl? I can't remember. The funny part was when... he seems to be done, and the audience starts clapping.
Yes.
But they were just waiting for the next pop.
Yes.
That was funny. But anyway. Yeah, so that was it.
Tangent.
So, moving on to Jane Carton as a talk show host, as we mentioned two episodes ago, our first episode. This happens quite often, and it's awesome. She's like, I think she's the perfect cast member for it. This week's fake talk show is called Dangerous But Inept. And welcome Squeaky Fromm, who famously, or infamously, I guess, tried to assassinate President Ford. It was a Charles Manson follower. Gotta throw in that true crime fact. And she's played by Lorraine Newman, who attempts to shoot her with a toy gun, and it doesn't go off, which is what happened with the attempted assassination.
And then as quick as it started, the show ends because Jane Curtin realizes this chick maybe has a screw loose. So. She says, tune in next week for Sarah Jane Moore, who is another person who attempted to assassinate President Ford.
It's rough. Then we get an ad for Felina Kitchens, where they have people test out cat food without them knowing it's cat food.
It's
sucks.
Like, it's like the Walmart thing, where they tested the steaks, you know?
People were like, what?
You didn't realize you were eating Walmart steak. Like,
There was like a Burger King one with cheesesteak. They were like, you know, Philly's known for its cheesesteak,
oh.
And they'll never know the difference. Whatever.
Some people
know
the difference.
Right? But then we had the musical guest sort of, the Lockers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Lockers come on stage in these awesome, like, neon outfits and break dance for a bit.
Yeah, it was definitely different than the musical numbers from the first two episodes. There was no singing. It was just straight-up mm-hmm. dancing, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it was... The moves they had were like...
Yeah, it was like early breakdancing,
yeah,
right?
It's
yeah,
it's like YouTube worthy. Yeah. Nowadays, if someone did that like in the subway or something.
Yeah, it was cool.
All right, so then we get into Weekend Update, where they once again make fun of President Ford.
As happens now for every episode. So they say that he's regaining his motor skills after a bad cold, which in and of itself is obviously funny. But then says the last time this happened, he not only tied his shoe to his blow dryer, but... inadvertently pardoned Nixon. So, I don't know. I just think it's interesting that they make so many Watergate references, especially in this first season, because SNL wasn't even on when all the Watergate stuff was happening. It was, like, the earlier 70s. So, it's like they're getting all their punches in now. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah. They also bring back the Blaine Hotel from the first episode, but this time instead of 37 murders, there were hostages and the kidnappers had a list of demands. The list ends up becoming a bunch of ads for, like, travel amenities.
Yeah, it's one's an airline, one is literally, like, a suitcase.
Going to Cuba or something?
So Dom Pardo was like, well, receiving asylum. They'll stay at Guevara Beach Hotel.
And then, of course, he says, guests of Saturday Night Live stay at the Blaine Hotel.
Of course. Mm-hmm. So I think the best bit of the Weekend Update in this episode, though, is the one that ended up kind of becoming a classic, and that's Mr. Garrett Morris, again, using their real names, which is funny. Mr. Garrett Morris, headmaster for the New York School for the Hard of Hearing, screaming the top headline alongside Chevy Chase.
Maybe we should start doing
Maybe
that.
Maybe we should start doing that.
Maybe not.
Yeah, no. I think I'm loud enough as it is, so... I don't know. We'll table that one for now.
So then we get John Belushi doing his absolute, oh man, best Joe Cocker singing I Get By With a Little Help From My Friends. And I talked to you, Maddie. Like, I didn't know if he was lip syncing or.
It was
amazing.
Bonkers. Yeah, so crazy. Good. Yeah. Yeah. He, you know, he's rolling around, like writhing on the floor.
Was he on drugs?
I mean, 1,000%.
1,000%, yeah.
He pours an entire PBR on himself. I don't know. It's definitely a sight to see. Yep. And then we get to visit our friends on the land of Gorge. Oh. Those good old Muppets on acid. But this time they are actually on drugs.
Two of them are.
Yeah.
Plumas is complaining that his son, was it Wiss?
I think Wiss.
Yeah, is a crater head, a.k.a. a pothead. So he and Scred, good old Screddy, go to visit Wiss to see what they can do about it.
Yes, and actually, you know, they pan to Wiss, and he's wearing big sunglasses, and he's just like, what's up, man? And he looks like a total stoner. Very much reminds me of Janice from the actual Muppets, who, like, whenever she says anything, you're like, oh, she is high as a kite right now. She's like, yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So after Plumas tries and fails to talk basically at his level and use words like groovy, they instead go to the mighty Favag for advice.
Of course. And all the while, Scred is riding a total contact high and asking for munchies. So, Jamie, please tell me, what does the mighty Favag say?
He says, well, the answer, my friend, is blown in the wind.
Love it. Another reference to the beginning.
Yeah. Except Bob Dylan is not dead.
Right. The next one, super gross. It's Chevy Chase doing a PSA for...
this is my favorite one!
Really?
Yes. I love this.
He's doing a PSA for saliva disbursement difficulties, a.k.a. droolers.
He basically just says how they're just like everybody else while he's, like, drooling buckets of spit all over himself.
So gross.
And he doesn't break and laugh once or twice. Oh, no, he does. Sorry, he does break and laugh. He does freaking laugh once or twice, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. So that was your favorite.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Can't explain it.
Yeah, I get it. I really like the next sketch because, while it includes a bunch of people, it's really just about Dan Aykroyd. I don't know what it is about it, but so he's like a square dancer MC. And while he's singing the lyrics, you're, like, subtly noticing that the square dancers are, like, beating the crap out of each other.
One of the lines is, Granny guzzles bourbon, preacher hits the gin, sashay up to Johnny and kick him in the shin.
Yeah, so every new line is a new way to hurt the other person, but, like, don't worry, because it rhymes, so it's great.
Yeah, that's true. So next we have Mark Hampton and Denny Dillon as nurses hosting Talent Night in the Convent.
Yeah, this one, I was kind of disappointed about it.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
they could have gone so many places with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It was like the original duet, like,
yes,
thing.
Yes, right.
Oh, wait, what's the one with, okay.
Jamie's looking ahead.
We're getting there.
It's rude. No. Yeah, so it reminded me of Will Ferrell on a Gas Tire, where they were Marty and Bobby Culp and did, like, those opera parodies of popular songs. I think most recently they came back and did Turn Down for What, which was amazing. But it just, you know, they made jokes, but, like, they could have done better.
Yeah, they were more like, they're just saying realistic things. Like,
right,
I liked, what's the one with Fred Armisen and Kristen Wiig, where they're like...
Oh, where they're trying to...
Say,
make stuff up as they go.
Hello. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, so next up was what Gilda ate. Amazing. And it was literally just Gilda Radner listing off what she ate that day. Obviously, the list was extensive and exaggerated, but it was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, everything she does makes me laugh. But this bit reminds me of the movie Trainwreck, when Amy Schumer says she's lightheaded because she hadn't eaten a lot that day. But then Billy Hader asks what she's eating, and she lists off like a bunch of stuff. And he's like, so breakfast, lunch, and a snack. then we get into a film by Albert Brooks, and while the first two were kind of, I found this one kind of funny. It was a little long.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have shortened it a little bit. Yeah. But so Albert says if he hadn't been a filmmaker, he'd be a surgeon. So he puts an ad in the paper, and long story short, someone responds, and he gets to perform open-heart surgery on this old man.
Super old.
Along the way, we find out that he can't even figure out body parts in a toy. The anesthesiologist dies.
It's the best part.
And the patient won't stop singing Peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Yeah. So don't worry. Nobody dies. Except the anesthesiologist.
And then we get one last big sketch that includes Rob, Penny, and most of the not-for-ready primetime players. Rob and Penny are out to eat at a restaurant, having a deep, serious conversation about their relationship.
Yeah, then a few bees, as we have grown to love, have come. A few bees come quietly down the steps to sit down at a table. Then some bees come in and play music for Rob and Penny. Then more bees come in and sit down at another table. Then when Rob asks for the check, all hell breaks loose.
Rob gets up, breaks the fourth wall, and shouts about how he didn't want to do any bee sketches. He said, I was told no bees when I signed on.
He's like super pissed. Like a minute long argument about why he didn't like the bees. He was like, the first episode, it just didn't work. Last week with Paul Simon, it didn't work. You know, he gets all mad. So then John Belushi breaks the fourth wall, you know, wearing his very funny antenna, and says, you don't even understand. Like, we didn't ask to be bees. You know, you've got Norman Lear and a first-rate rating staff. This is all they came up with for us, which is funny. But also, I feel like it's kind of offensive to, like, the guy or girl who came up with the bee sketch originally.
Who is that? We'll find out.
We
need to find that person. They need to come on the show.
Yeah. Because, like, eventually, obviously, the bees become funny because the NBC people thought that they weren't.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know.
It's showing their, like, you know, suck it to the man.
Yeah, tenacity.
The sketch drops up with Belushi getting angrier about it. Battle Hymn of the Republic starts playing, and he calls Rainer a big shot and Mr. Star and
it's
says,
like Animal House.
What did you expect, this thing?
But
So that's episode 3, guys.
Yeah, it was a good one. I think out of the first 3 episodes, this was the funniest.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think the most like traditional SNL we're used to today.
Yes, and I think my favorite sketch was
The drooler.
Yeah. I don't know. I just
it's
like
gross. And yeah, like I mentioned, my favorite one was the fashion one, I think, just because it was so simple and so ridiculous at the same time.
Wasn't someone wearing a toilet?
It was a chair.
Oh, a chair.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing funnier than like Garrett Morris coming out in like this dapper suit and everyone thinks he looks fine and then he turns around and a chair is literally stuck to the back of his body. Like, I don't know.
They should bring that back. It's like modern day.
They should
also bring back the bees. Why not?
I mean it's at
iconic.
Least once a season.
Yeah, exactly.
Use it. Bee refresher.
So, yeah, that's going to do it for us today on We Need More Cowbell.
That's right. So we want to, again, thank the Digital Learning Lab here at Princeton for letting us use their podcast studio. Super convenient. Really easy to use and accessible. So thank you.
Yes, and we want to thank everybody for the support so far.
Everybody.
You guys I've had a couple of friends and family members that just, like, tell me that they really liked it.
That's awesome.
And, you know, just it's nice to hear.
It is.
So if you haven't yet, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe or follow us on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and Spotify.
Definitely. And make sure to follow us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle @morecowbellpod.
If you've got any questions, comments, corrections, connections, funny jokes,
you know,
shoot us an email.
We'll take anything.
At morecowbellpodcast@gmail.com.
Great. And with that, we'll say, if you've got a fever,
the only cure is more cowbell.
Yay!